Alleluia! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, your Son makes himself known to all his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work. Who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord. Second reading is from 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be like a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner. And a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not believe, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. You may be seated. Graduates, I'd like to invite you to come on up here and sit on these steps one more time. Come on up. Good to have you here today. And children, younger kids, come on up too. I want you to come up, and we're going to bless our graduates today. What a great day for them. Have a seat on that top step right there. Come on up, kids. There's room for you. Come on. We need you. Come on, you bashful children. Come on up, right over here. Yeah, I know, they're afraid of the big kids. Come on, I need you. Come on. Come on over here, a little closer. They won't bite. Graduates, do not bite, do you? You guys don't bite, do you? Good. Okay. All right. So, next Sunday, these people are all going to be graduating from high school. That took a lot of work and stuff, didn't it? Yeah. You guys are just starting your education, and you know how much work it is. Well, these guys have put in some long years of education, and they've done a good job, and now they're going to be recognized for that, and we want to celebrate with them their accomplishments today. So, one of the things that caught my attention today as those readings were being read is the reading from the Psalm. And in that Psalm, we heard the words, "My times are in your hand, O Lord. My time are in your hand." Well, you guys have lived only a short time, right? These guys have lived a little longer time, and I've lived a little longer time, and some of you have lived a lot longer time, right? And to think that every one of those times is in God's hand is pretty amazing. What does it mean to be in God's hand? It means that God has it in hand. God has it in control, right? No matter what's happening, God has it in control. So that means that our good times and our bad times are in God's hand. Our sad times, our glad times, and our mad times are in God's hand. Our upside down times and our right side up times are in God's hand, right? That means our kid times are in God's hand, right? That means our school times are in God's hand. That means our college time, where you guys probably are going, is in God's hand. Your work times are in God's hand. Your mom times, your dad times, your grandpa and grandma times are in God's hand. All times are in God's hand. God has it in hand. God has it under control. That's pretty good news, isn't it? To know that God has each and every moment of our life in his hand. And God will take care of us through all of it. Through all of it. That is good, good news. Another way to demonstrate that is just yesterday, I believe. Maybe it was Friday. One of my grandchildren, I won't mention his names, walked into our house, and at the same time he opened the door, a bird flew in our house. So I went in and looked for the bird. There it sat on the floor, just this nice little brown wren with a yellow breast. And I went over and he just let me pick him up into my hands. And as long as I had that little bird in my hands, everything was okay, right? I wasn't going to hurt him. He wasn't going to get hurt because I was holding on to him. And what did we do with him? We took him outside and we let him fly. If that little birdie would have stayed in our house, he would have banged himself and harmed himself and maybe even died trying to get out. But because he was in my hands, I was going to take care of him. And so we took him outside and we let him go. That's pretty cool, kind of a cool picture of how God holds us in his hands, right? He protects us, he keeps us until that time when he can let us go to fly into the abundant life that he wants us to have. So we're going to bless these guys. So if you four or five could come up behind them, first come with me. Come with me. Just the four of you or five of you. Dip your fingers in the water here. Dip your fingers in there, especially your pointer finger. Can you reach it, Grace? Can you reach it? Now let's go bless these guys with the mark of the cross. Find somebody that looks friendly. Just make the sign of the cross on their forehead. Come on. Come on, just pick somebody. Girls, pick a girl. Boys, pick a boy. Come here, Silas. I'll help you. Did you make it? Did you make the sign of the cross on? Good job. Come here, I'll help you. Come on, you can help me mark Ben, can you? Okay, I'll go. So we're going to make the sign of the cross. Who else didn't get one? Girls, that nice water. Can you get Madison? Can you mark her? You're going to want me to do it. Your finger's still wet. Come on. There you go. All right. Now if you can come up here behind them. I want them to know they're surrounded by love today. Come on, you guys. They're good kids. Just put your hand on their shoulder. Just a good girls, find a girl. Boys, find a boy. Just put your hand on their shoulder. Come on, you can do it. Pastor Zach, you ready? All right, we're going to bless them.
At this time of celebration and transition, hear these words from the Holy Scripture. A reading from Proverbs. My child, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you indeed cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
Let us pray. God of all good gifts, your Son gathered children into his arms and blessed them. Help us to understand our daughters and sons as they grow in years and in knowledge of your world. Give us compassion when they face temptations and experience failures. Teach us to encourage their search for truth and value in their lives. Help us to appreciate their ideals and sympathize with their frustrations, that with them we may look for a better world than either we or they have known. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, graduates, for coming up and for being here today. Blessings and peace to you. We will have you guys in a greeting line after worship. We'll process out together, and folks can greet you then. Thanks for coming up. We wish you God's abundant blessings, not only today, but throughout the years. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My times are in God's hands, in God's hand. Jesus himself seems to know that his times are in God's hand. He seems to trust in this news. He seems to find comfort in this news. My times are in your hand. Jesus' graduation is approaching. It's coming quickly. And there are some similarities with Jesus' graduation with the graduation of our high schoolers. Jesus says to those who are listening, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And our minds immediately jump to that place of paradise, or that place that we call heaven. But in John's gospel, we must realize that when Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, or a better translation is, I go to prepare an abiding place for you, Jesus is talking about the activity that is lying just ahead of him. His cross, his resurrection, and his ascension. Those are the events that lie just ahead of Jesus that will prepare an abiding place for each and every one of God's children. In light of that, we must realize that Jesus' cap and gown have been ordered. They have already been placed on order. His cap and his gown will be coming soon. His cap, of course, is a crown of thorns. And his robe is that purple robe which was put on him in order to mock and humiliate him. I go to prepare an abiding place for you, Jesus says. As he takes on our suffering and our punishment for sin, he goes to prepare an abiding place for us with our Heavenly Father, so that there is nothing between us and our Heavenly Father, but instead we can come to God as a refuge and a rock and a hiding place in times of trial, trouble, and temptation. Also, with his approaching graduation, Jesus knows that with that event, things will change. Life will change. And isn't that really the problem with our times? With our lives, is that things change. Even with things that we look forward to, like the graduation of our sons and daughters, things change. My favorite story about this idea that things change comes from when our youngest daughter, Katie, was playing softball after her high school graduation. She was playing the summer of her senior year. She had already graduated, and the girls were having a great softball season. They went to state that year, and things didn't really go as they had planned. They got beat out in the second round, and I remember, you know, just kind of watching the girls after the game, and they were all crying and weeping and hugging each other, and I thought they were crying because they'd lost the game. And then Molly, one of the underclassmen, she grabbed my daughter, again, who had just graduated. She grabbed her around the neck, gave her this big hug, and she said, oh, Katie, she said, I don't want it to end. That means everything will change. And that's when my eyes were opened. The reality that it's not so much about the loss, right? I mean, they were crying because they lost, but it was more about the realization that with the end of the season would come change. The seniors would go off to wherever they were going next, and the underclassmen would go back to school, and they would have to navigate those waters of high school without their friends who had gone on to whatever came next. Things change. And when things change, life sometimes becomes difficult. because we don't want them to change. We like things the way they are for the most part. But when things change, when things were going to change for Jesus, and when things were going to change for his disciples because of those things that were lying just ahead of him, Jesus says these words, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. There is an abiding place. I go to prepare an abiding place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also." Things were changing, but Jesus wasn't leaving his disciples. He wasn't leaving his community of faith, his children. It would change, yes, but Jesus would be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus would be there, whether visibly present or not. Jesus would be there. He will be there. He is there, and he will continue to be there for his community of faith, for his children. Jesus knows things change in our lives. And he knows that sometimes with those changes come bitter disappointment and bitter heartbreak and dashed dreams. He even knows that when dreams are realized and life changes, that life can become difficult and struggles hard. But Jesus trusts the words of the psalmist, My times are in your hand, O God. My times are in your hand. Say that with me. My times are in your hand. Parents and grandparents, that's good news for you today. And it will be good news for you in the days ahead. Students, that is good news for you today and in the days ahead when you make the transitions that lie ahead for you. Children of God, that is good news for you. When things change, when change comes by our asking or against our will, that is good news. My times are in your hand. When things change and change comes, Jesus invites us time and time again to come into that abiding place. We can get there before we go to heaven. Come into that abiding, that place of deep and abundant relationship with God. And it is there that Jesus promises, even in our weariness, our tiredness, and our those times of when we are overwhelmed, even in those times, we will find rest and we will find life. And follow Jesus. Follow Jesus in trusting that my times are in your hands. Say it with me. My times are in your hands. Let all God's people say, Amen.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Rejoicing in the risen life of Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God, our salvation, you have made us living stones in the waters of baptism. We pray for the church and its leaders, for the newly baptized, for missionaries around the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, our home, your spirit dwells with creation. We pray for the earth, for clean water and air, for the earth's foundation, for the lands all creatures inhabit, and for those who work our fields and produce our food. Lord, in your mercy. God, our way, you call us to paths of justice. We pray for nations and leaders, for our president and government, for strife-torn communities, and for our enemies. Lord, in your mercy. God of our beginnings, we thank you for the gift of our graduating seniors. Their contributions have blessed and challenged us and made our community more diverse. As they move into the world, we entrust them to your care. We ask your blessings on them. Lord, in your mercy. God of love, we give thanks for mothers who care for us, who have supported us when times were hard, who have challenged us, who have been our spiritual teachers. On this day, we honor mothers. Lord, in your mercy. God, our refuge, you deliver us in times of trial. We pray for the rejected and persecuted, for neglected infants and children, and for the sick, and especially, and we'll lift up the names printed in our bulletin, and we'll start with Strauss, as he is celebrating and also has a time of surgery. We pray for the family of Karen, Michaela, Judy, Lois, Sonia, Amy, Janet, Ione, Strauss, Tim, Marge, Rodney, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Mogadishu, missionaries Colin and Jenny, for all in need, Lord, in your mercy. God of our comfort, we give thanks to the Due Day ladies who have made the beautiful quilts displayed on our pews. These quilts represent faith and belief in God's power to comfort, strengthen, and heal as they are sent to third world countries to those in need. Lord, in your mercy. God, our shelter, you draw all people to yourself. We pray for those who are homeless and those with inadequate housing, and for all who come into this building seeking a safe haven. Lord, in your mercy. Join in our voices with thanksgiving. We remember those who have died in faith. Bring us with them to the fullness of your glory with all your saints. Lord, in your mercy. Joining our voices with your faithful ones in every time and place, we offer our prayers in the name of the risen one, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
God, who has brought us from death to life, fill you with great joy. Your times are in God's hands. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Alleluia! Christ is risen!
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia!
You are the body of Christ, raised up for the world. Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.